Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Another week, another show. It's Grant and Danny. There is nothing normal about this one, though. Kirk Cousins for a half hour plus at 11 o'clock. And unlike our normal interviews with Kirk, where he's on the phone and we ask him questions, he was at our facility at DC Lottery Live yesterday with dozens of our listeners, many of whom got to ask him questions. You will hear their Q's and his A's coming up at 11 for about 35 minutes. Kirk Cousins exclusively on Grant and Danny. And I got to tip my cap. Our listeners not only showing up in droves for an event in Burgundy and Gold, which was a lot of fun yesterday.
That was cool.
To Lindsay for sponsoring the event. Thank you to Kava for bringing food. Thanks to Kirk, his brother, his buddy Joe came out and had a good time with us and listeners. But great questions as well. I actually learned a lot listening to Kirk because it was just questions that you and I maybe wouldn't normally think about that were things that fans are interested in. And I think we got a lot out of it as a station. And I think Kirk really enjoyed it. And talking to him a little bit after he left yesterday, he wants to do it again. He was very happy. So good job to our listeners.
It was neat. Kirk was awesome. I mean, he always is awesome. He's so put together, so cool, calm, collected, just, you know, answering questions from A to Z. I mean, there are cool ones in there, like what quarterbacks do you regularly communicate with that have nothing to do with the Redskins that you want to emulate? And that answer was awesome. We heard that at 11. Some of the stuff behind the scenes about different playing coach or coach-player relationship styles, Sean McVay, Jay Gruden, some of the behind-the-scenes inner workings, great answers from him on those as well.
He was even asked where he's going to be next year at one point. Like, hey, I want to buy a T-shirt for whatever team you're going to, so can you just let me know after the end of the season?
The guy, like, straight-faced, like, just dry answered it. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, so it was a good time. So make sure you're listening at 11 o'clock. Really fun event, as most of them are downstairs. So when you get a chance to come out to DC Lottery Live for one of the things we're doing, you got to try to do that. But we enjoyed ourselves. Couple of news and notes out of the shoot here. We're going to get to game balls and gassers for the first time this preseason.
Yes.
After preseason game two at 10:18. You can give us your game ball, best of the Redskins from Saturday night against the Packers. Gassers, worst of the performances you saw against Green Bay. And there are going to be plenty of gassers for the first team offense because they were not sharp again, something Kirk covers with us early and often in the 35 or so minutes we'll spend with him. Big news yesterday is that Jordan Reed is off the PUP list.
Yes!
It sounds like he will be ready to practice on Wednesday when the team starts its preparations for the Cincinnati Bengals. Sunday, rare, matinee preseason game in Washington. Because it's a Sunday afternoon game, what I think is going to happen is the Redskins this week, it's also the third game, the quote-unquote dress rehearsal, they are going to use this week for the first time to pretend like they are playing a regular game.
Which I love.
And if I was Jay Gruden, other than the fact that my starters would play one quarter less because I would play them about three quarters, I would do everything the exact same this week as I'm going to be doing it a few weeks from now. I would tell them when they showed up at the park tomorrow morning. I believe he gave the team the day off today. So they show up on Tuesday and they have the rest of the week to get ready. I would say, we have a gift here of a rare, strange Sunday afternoon preseason game. I don't think they've ever played one at FedEx. Certainly not during my time around the team since 1999. Let's act as if this is regular season game one. So there are no excuses at the end of the game. Now, we're not going to open up our entire playbook, but we are going to game plan for Cincinnati. You are going to know what offensive concepts, what defensive concepts they're coming at you with. We're going to play for most of three quarters. And other than using, let's say, 65% of the playbook, but you better be able to master that 65%, everything else is going to be real to life for three quarters. So if we're down to the Bengals, 27-13 and looking terrible, that means we're going to get beat up pretty badly by the Eagles in week one. I want this to be as authentic and real as anything we've seen. That's how I would prepare this team this week for that game on Sunday. But Jordan Reed being able to practice might mean he's able to play. You'd then have Doxson on the field. You'd have Crowder on the field. You'd have Reed on the field.
That's the weapons.
The excuses start to dissipate a little bit.
And I'm with you. So, again, in general, my philosophy on the preseason is please just don't get hurt. I don't care about anything else. Just don't get hurt. The fact that that first team offense has yet to master a first down or make a first down against a first team defense. Now, it's not a huge sample. It's still troubling. The fact that it's not just the,
hey, they, five drives, I believe.
Hey, they can't run the ball. Well, okay, I know you're not scheming up, and I've heard all the excuses about it. I know guys are whiffing on blocks. I know guys aren't going to the right spot. I know they're not engaging man on man. They haven't figured it out yet. I need you to. And you could tell Jay Gruden needed them to as well. That's why the offense stayed out there drive after drive. Bill Callahan said, get off the field. I want the second team offensive line out there. Trent Williams grabbed his helmet and said, I ain't leaving on that note. They ran back out onto the field themselves. They knew it. They have a sense now that they're not good enough just to flip the switch at some point. You could tell there's some urgency here. I wish they had the urgency from the start of training camp, but they now know, I think, at least I get the sense, hey, we got to put something better than this to earn the right to coast through these preseason games.
We are going to get a lot more into preseason game two, Saturday, Green Bay, and how it all went down at 10:18 when we go Game Balls Gassers. For those that are asking and have been on Twitter, or those that are commenting about being really worried about the offense, Sean McVay is missed. I heard the junkies asking that question kind of rhetorically today. Everyone needs to hit the brakes a little bit on the panic about an offense where you are not game planning yet. Now, that is not to say that you shouldn't have some concern, because Green Bay is not game planning either. They look good. And there are other teams around the NFL. Dallas put on an offensive clinic the other night. Dak Prescott had the ball hit the carpet one time. Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris ran wild without Ezekiel Elliott getting work because of what's going on with him. And that's a team that's using the same percentage, essentially, of its playbook you'd imagine as Washington.
Right.
So you can still either look good or bad not running much, and they're not looking that good. Their simple is the same as everyone else's simple, and other teams are doing it better. So you can be a little bit frustrated or annoyed. But to start panicking about the play calling or saying Jay Gruden can't do everything at once, which I've heard people now saying and media members writing, that is utterly outrageous. They have not done anything yet during the week that they're going to do come prepping for the Eagles in terms of getting ready for the game. They didn't even look at Green Bay. So in talking to Cousins, and you'll hear some of this at 11 o'clock, they were completely surprised by some of the defense that was being played and schemes that Green Bay was playing, because they literally hadn't seen it from last year when they played them last in the playoffs a couple of seasons ago, or the little film maybe that some of the guys watched on their own. But as a team, they did not prep for that. So I'm not overly worried about the offense. I would like to see more positive momentum against starters. And I'll tell you this, if they don't look much better against Cincinnati when they are prepping, like they're going through in the regular season, that's when I'll be worried, because the starters don't go out again in week four of the preseason. It's now or never time to look better, and I'm guessing that they will. A couple of other notes really quickly before we get back into the Redskins at 10:18. The Nats have a bunch of guys getting healthy at the same time, but before we get to that, Max Scherzer to the disabled list.
It's a thing.
He was pushed back, and he is promising that he's going to make his next start. Went to the DL basically to skip him once. Remember, his start before this most recent one, so the penultimate outing he's had this season, came a couple days late because he had neck pain after he hit the home run and pitched one inning and got yanked from a game against the Miami Marlins. So then he gets pushed back a couple of days, throws pretty well. Has another game, throws well. Is supposed to make a start in San Diego this weekend that he couldn't make because his neck was still hurting him. And they
now slap it's the other side, by the way.
Right. They slap him on the disabled list. Same issue, different side of his neck, but he's got weird tightness or whatever. Supposedly this is from how he slept a couple weeks ago. I'm guessing there's something else going on there that, again, shocker. People always get annoyed when we say don't believe the Nationals, but when it comes to injuries, don't believe anything
you can't
say. There's too much of a track record of them just either being wrong or misleading or not truthful. And frankly, I don't care which of the three it is. I just know that they never tell me the truth.
Yeah, I also know that it never works out the way they say. So again, it could be that it's a mistake, an honest one, fine. It could be, you know, misleading. It could be overly optimistic, whatever it is. Bottom line, when you tell me it's not a thing, I will not believe that, because it ends up being a thing more often than not. And here we are with Max Scherzer in the DL. Now, there is some confidence that he'll come back and it's, you know, he'll get a MyPillow promo code and get something more comfortable for him, and that'll be that. Still, again, this is the Cy Young winner. This is the best pitcher right now on the planet. I need him. I need him. I need Max Scherzer to be fine. You got a 2-touchdown lead in the division. Whatever the hell it takes. I don't care if it's AJ Cole, Johnny Holstaff, Eric Fetty, Matt Grace gets a spot start. Kudos to him, by the way. That was incredible. Gio was incredible against the Padres last night. I need Max Scherzer to be fine. Nothing else to me matters right now.
Yeah, the most important player on the Nationals in the playoffs is Max Scherzer, in my opinion. He's got to go up against the aces of the other staffs, whether that's Kershaw or that's Lester or if they take on St. Louis. I mean, he's going up against number one pitchers like Carlos Martinez every time he throws.
Who's starting game one of the postseason? Max Scherzer.
Right. Strasburg did come back.
Looked good.
Good news. Looked very good. 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. Now, the Nats can't hit or score right now. In the game in which Strasburg pitched, Andrew Stevenson batted leadoff and Adrian Sanchez hit second.
Yeah.
That's funny. Strasburg, anyway. 4 hits, 2 runs, 8 strikeouts, and 1 walk. Weirdly, the Nats didn't score much in that game and only had 3 hits, which was strange. I never would have thought that looking at the lineup before the game. But the bigger story is that he threw really well.
Yeah, he looked very good doing it.
And frankly, that's all I cared about from that game.
Correct.
They could have gotten no hit, and Stras could have gone those 6 innings, 2 runs, 8 punchies, and I would have felt great. He came out of it seamlessly, had no problems, told everyone he felt pretty well afterwards. So that's good. Today, I don't know if you saw this. This came out this morning. Jason Wirth and Trey Turner together are going to Syracuse to begin their rehabilitation assignment at the AAA level. So you're starting left fielder Wirth and you're starting shortstop, way more important in my opinion, Turner, as a top-of-the-order catalyst who bats leadoff, are both going to Syracuse to rehab together.
Massive.
They're going to be back this week. So if you get those two guys back, Strasburg back, Scherzer says he'll be back this week, Michael Taylor's already back. Of the guys that we're banking on, that means you could potentially have about 5 weeks of that group, and you're only now waiting on Bryce Harper, Coda Glover, Sean Kelly, who returned and gave up a home run right away, but getting back to being himself, and that's kind of the next tier. But suddenly this team, which wasn't healthy, is.
They're getting healthier. So, again, that's the big deal. Jason Wirth, remember, was supposed to play the weekend after the All-Star game. How long ago was the All-Star game? The fact that it's happening is a great deal.
That would have been 1 month ago if he came back the week after the All-Star.
Precisely. And it was pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So that is a massive deal. It means that the baseball activities, the running, he's responded well to that. And Trey Turner, light activity starting to ramp up, that's great. Do not expect him to be Trey Turner for at least a couple weeks.
That's not a skill set that comes back 100 miles an hour right away.
Let's live with that. Let's all remember. Let's not panic. If we look up at the end of 2-3 weeks and he's, you know, can't get the ball to the infield or still scuffling, maybe we don't get this Trey Turner back for the end of the season. But that's a big deal, man.
If you were not here yesterday, and 98% of you were not, for Kirk Cousins' event at DC Lottery Live, if you weren't one of the listeners asking him questions, you're going to want to listen at 11 o'clock to Cousins exclusively and only right here on Grant and Danny. He was sensational. Next, the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. Our favorite segment post-games. Game balls and gassers. Who gets a game ball for shining against Green Bay? Who gets a gasser for stinking up the joint in week 2 of the preseason? Next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.